Like, this episode's about fucking toboggans. Like, why not? Like, there's so much more to talk about in the world.
Hey, man.
This is a little bonus episode we've got going this week. This is rated NA. We need to talk.
And we're breaking up with all of you.
Yeah.
Just kidding. We're not.
Everybody sit down. We've got some news.
This is serious business.
It's bad for you, good for us. Every once in a while, we hit a topic that we would like to talk about in depth, you know, spoil it and really get into something. And we get a little limited on our, whether you believe this or not, our podcast is actually structured into segments.
It is structured.
And we try not to ramble too much about something, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
So we've thrown this idea around for a little while. We finally have a topic that we want to delve into, so we're doing it. And this is going to be a shorter episode than normal, but a bonus episode. We're still going to do the normal ones. They're still going to come out every week. This is just us getting down and dirty, and this week's topic is
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So I guess I should also say we've been wanting to talk about this show for a while on our show, but we went about 2 months of kind of having special episodes.
Yeah.
So we haven't really had that much time to fit in a good long discussion about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So we're going to do that, and we might be coming out with more of these We Need to Talk episodes periodically when we hit a topic that we think is worthy of one. So it's kind of exciting.
Ooh, I just thought of a topic for the next one. I'll tell you.
Oh, boy. Keep it under your hat.
Is it toboggans?
No, don't ruin it.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to keep it under my hat, though, so you don't know.
Awesome. So I guess we'll just start off. We're going to spoil the ever-living shit out of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So if you haven't watched the show yet, or if you haven't seen the season finale or any of the show, we're going to spoil pretty much the whole damn first season.
Hit pause.
Yeah.
Go watch the entire first season.
And then come back.
We'll wait.
And
come back.
Let's talk about it.
And then hit play again.
Yeah.
And don't turn off your computer. Hit pause and let it sit and wait.
And if you don't listen, don't feel bad, because we're not preempting the next episode. 154 will still come out on time.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and this episode isn't going to go away. You can technically come listen to it whenever you'd like.
That's a good point. Yeah.
It's magical. So let's start off by talking about the beginning of the show and kind of how it came together and kind of the first 12 episodes, because I think you guys are going to agree with me, but the second portion of the season was a little bit better than the first
better?
Portion.
Yeah, I think
better
is the right word there.
I think how it really came together is that you foretold it. It was foretold in the heavens.
Oh, when we came up with the idea for the show S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a really long time ago.
I wish I knew what episode that was on, because I'd play it right now.
So this got announced, I think, today. Disney came out saying that they are going to make an Avengers themed TV show.
But God, you know what would be fucking awesome?
If Joss Whedon was behind it?
No, if they just did a S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. That was exactly what I was thinking.
Four badass agents that deal with like power crimes, making like a ripoff of Powers.
And I thought like a spy show that involved S.H.I.E.L.D. would be awesome.
Yeah, so we were joking around a long time ago, and we heard that they were going to come out with a Marvel TV show, and we couldn't for the life of us really think of what it could be other than S.H.I.E.L.D. and how cool it would be, because you couldn't really have a show that focuses on, you know, ultra powerful heroes without it being kind of hokey. So it would have to be, something a little bit more grounded, which is what S.H.I.E.L.D. was. The beginning of the show, I mean, I love Joss Whedon's writing. I've always been a fan. You know, I used to have Buffy nights at my house, have friends over, eat pizza, watch Buffy and Angel, and then same thing with Firefly. So I've been a fan for a very long time. So instantly, I liked his characters. I liked, you know, right. Fitz and Simmons a lot. I liked the cast a lot. What did you guys think of like your initial introduction to the people on the show?
Same here. I liked Fitz, and I was not as big of a Whedonite. I liked Firefly a lot, but I was not big into Buffy or Angel or anything. I liked Fitz and Simmons quite a bit. You know, of course, I liked Coulson. I would say Sky, I actually did not like at first. She kind of got on my nerves quite a bit. And Ward felt like milquetoast. May was, she was kind of, at the very beginning, if you remember, they kind of, which we're going to get into, I know, but.
Yeah.
Kind of like everything was a secret. It was obnoxious. Like the first three episodes, I feel like they didn't say anything. Like it was just like, here's some characters and everything's a super secret. And May had a bit of that with the whole Calvary thing. Sky had it. Coulson. Everybody had this, like, everybody's got a secret. And it kind of annoyed me. So May, not that she annoyed me, I just didn't grow to love her as much as I did towards the end when she really was the badass that they kept hinting at in the beginning. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. They did kind of, they wanted to have her, I think, in the beginning as a deflated character, someone who perhaps is, you know, has been through almost too much. And she's, you know, very unwilling in the beginning to really kind of participate. And, like, you know, since we're spoiling it, she goes on. The whole reason she's there is to keep an eye on Coulson and basically spy on him the entire time. So maybe that's why she was so reluctant and kind of quiet in the beginning, because she was, as a character, conflicted about what she was actually doing. So,
right.
But I agree. In the beginning, I was like, okay, she's supposed to be this badass, but she was actually just kind of, first few episodes, a little bit dull, you know?
Yeah.
What about you, Scott?
I thought, you know, it didn't take me more than a couple episodes to figure out, like, hey, this is kind of like the closest thing to Firefly that you're ever going to see on TV again.
Yeah. They're on a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Mal called it a boat, and he calls it a bus. Coulson calls it a bus.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, there are a lot of, you can draw a lot of parallels between the characters on Firefly and the ones on this show in terms of their, like, personality and sort of their function, how they operate on the vessel, you know?
Yeah.
I remember joking with my wife that it would be funny if there was an episode where Coulson put Ward, like, outside of the cargo bay and, like, threatened to, you know, kick him off the boat, you know, or off the bus. Yeah.
I feel like this has happened before.
Yeah, no, it absolutely has. And I thought it'd be cool. I'm surprised, actually, that there hasn't been anything in the show that has been like a tongue-in-cheek kind of nod to Firefly.
Right.
You know, in the course of this show, because it could be something that could be done very easily and nobody would really notice except for people that love Firefly.
So you don't want them to have like another S.H.I.E.L.D. bus with the entire cast of Firefly on that bus, and they have like a face-off and a series of challenges.
It does not have to be that obvious. You know, it could be something very simple.
Yeah.
It could be like a piece of the set that's like from the, you know, the Firefly set, and it just happens to be in somebody's bunk or something. I don't know.
I have a possibly interesting question to ask you guys.
Okay. Sure.
So, you know, we're talking about meeting the characters and kind of the first 12 episodes and whatnot. Does it make you wonder, for as good as those 13 episodes of Firefly were, where that show was headed? If it was actually headed in an even more amazing direction that we just never, you know what I mean?
Sure.
I know we got the movie, but like, you know what I mean?
I kind of feel like some of the ideas from that show could be
floated into this one.
Yeah, reused in this one. Like concepts, like long, like big arc ideas, you know?
Right.
Well,
so
I think
it's definitely possible.
Yeah. I agree too. I think Firefly, I think everybody that loves that show will agree that it was canceled sort of before it had a chance to really, no pun intended, take off, you know?
But seriously, well, you have a character in this cast who is now mysterious, and she's like, you don't know what's up with her and like what's going to happen with her.
Are you talking about Flower Dress?
No, I'm talking about Sky. Like,
yeah, Sky.
Is, you know, Sky is our...
Is Sky interesting to you guys yet?
No, she's not to me. She's not interesting at all.
I don't mind Sky. I think Sky is...
Well, I don't mind her as a character, but I mean, is she interesting as a character?
I don't think they've revealed enough about what she really is yet. Because right now, like, her abilities are kind of, you know, they just exist to move the plot along. Like, so she can hack things to make things happen in the show so that they can quote unquote win the episode. You know what I mean? So like, she's not really that interesting in terms of like what she brings to the table yet. So I think next season's going to be a big Sky season, like what she's all about and, you know, and what she really is there to do.
I feel like one of the main arcs over this entire season though is like her becoming a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, you know, and being like, what do I need to do to feel like I'm part of this team, and like, why don't you guys accept me and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But doesn't it make that first six episodes seem so pointless on her storyline, as far as like, like that's all gone now, right? Like now it's like she's part of the team, and she has been for probably half the season.
Yeah,
everybody's trusted her. She's fine, you know, except for May for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But like even May's distrust, they're now basically pointing out was completely misled, because you know, here they've blown up S.H.I.E.L.D. literally, you know.
Absolutely.
And like anybody who I think at this point, anybody who was going to be bad has been surfaced as bad. I think there's maybe a little bit of room on a couple of characters, but not much really. And it seems like, you know, I just feel like it, all of this stuff, while it was amazing because it tied in with the movies, it was like everything we wanted, you know, like when Captain America happened and it was all tied in with the show and it was all so amazing. And you're just like, oh my God, this is all, I mean, cause all we said for weeks, like I think to Scott was like, don't watch the show until you watch the movie.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah, sure,
have to see it in order. And I think the amazing thing about it is that it worked so well and it did what everybody wanted. But at the same time, it was like this giant reset button sort of, and kind of made me feel like, oh, well then what were the first 8 episodes? And maybe this was the plan all along and they just knew they had to wait until Captain America came out to really like become the interesting show. But it turned it into so monster of the week and kind of borderline boring at the beginning to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think having a group that is on the run and with limited resources, you know, being hunted is so much more interesting than having like a multi-trillion dollar organization that you can call on the cell phone at any moment and like call in an airstrike. I mean, really having a show about S.H.I.E.L.D. where they're omnipotent is kind of stupid, because like, in all honesty, you could do anything as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Yeah, they're unstoppable.
So, exactly. So the idea that they now have all that gone is really kind of fascinating. And, you know, we'll talk about the end of the show later, but the fact that Coulson is, you know, going to be rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of from the ground up is awesome to me. And I'm really interested to see like where he goes with that and what he does with that.
And what, I mean, we could talk about this later, but what could potentially be cool about that is this now becomes sort of like movie canon, you know?
Right. Yeah. I'm really interested to see what happens with that.
Well,
yeah.
So Marvel has that concept. I've listened to a bunch of podcasts, read a bunch of stuff about it, where they have this concept of the two canons. They have the comic book canon.
Yeah.
Which is Marvel canon and has been so forever. And then they call it, I think, what's it called? The MCU?
Yeah, Cinematic Universe.
Cinematic Universe.
Cinematic, there you go.
Which
yeah.
the show is part of. And that's its own canon line. And now we're actually seeing it really be part of it. You know, and maybe we were hoping for too much too soon to have it be like so quickly integrated into the universe, mm-hmm. like in the first episode. But it did feel like it took a little while to get going. Let's switch gears if you guys are cool with
talk
about the... Because we've talked about them kind of around them, but the secrets of the show, which we've got Sky.
Yeah.
We've mm-hmm. got May. We've got Coulson.
Mm-hmm.
And then turns out we even have Ward, which we didn't know until the very end.
Mm-hmm. Which was the best of all the secrets.
So let's start off with, I think, probably the most boring and easy to talk about, which is May. Her whole Calvary thing and the hidden past. They basically revealed it. How many episodes was it in when they talked about? They finally, like, Coulson finally tells Sky the story, right?
About
how many agents she lost on a single mission and mm-hmm. who was there, all that kind of stuff. Did that have any emotional impact to you guys or no?
Not really. I still feel like they kind of skirted around the full story. I mean, he hinted at it, but I kind of feel at the same time he was still telling a fantasy version of what really went down.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like I really heard like the full story. And then I feel like they, because so much else was going on, they just were like, okay, we gave the audience enough. Let's move on and deal with like the big secrets. So I kind of feel like as soon as they gave you like an abridged version of what happened with May, they kind of just moved away from it.
I do think it's interesting though, like the relationship that May has with Coulson, you know?
Yeah.
As
sort of like, it's sort of like the two adults on the ship, you know, on the boat or on the bus.
Sure. Yeah.
It's interesting, like when they argue, and you know when they got into the whole thing about like what her intentions were and what her motives were, and you know Coulson kind of just told her to, you know, GTFO and all that. Like I thought all of that stuff when that happened, I thought that was very interesting. You know,
yeah.
In terms of her character, as sort of this kind of grizzled war person who's kind of got like a softer side, but she doesn't reveal it ever, you know, but she still has emotion, even though we're kind of like led to believe that she doesn't, you know.
Right.
And I think that's really interesting. I think the dialogue between the two of them is what makes her character more interesting.
No, adds I agree.
Depth so, to her character.
Yeah,
and I think that talks into Coulson's secret, which is Tahiti, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because she is a huge part of his secret throughout the whole show. So Tahiti gets kind of rolled out in small pieces, right? Like mm-hmm. at first we know that Coulson died because that happened in the Avengers. And mm-hmm. if you somehow didn't see the Avengers, then I don't know who you are while you're listening to this podcast. A lot of people watched it. I'd recommend maybe going and seeing it.
It's pretty good.
But it's okay. You know?
Yeah, I would
when,
say.
When Hulk punches an alien space worm out of the sky, I'm all right with it.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
So they mention Project Tahiti, and that's why he's alive. And they talk about Nick Fury being heavily involved. And then they start rolling out some secrets. I don't know if one of you guys wants to talk about how they kind of approach this Project Tahiti. It was frustrating for a long time. Yeah. I mean, it had to go 8 or 9 episodes before they even really went further than saying the word Tahiti.
I thought they were going to tease it for the entire season.
You know? I kind of did too, and I was a little worried about that.
I'm glad they didn't. But I mean, the thing that's, I think, really interesting about it is there are so many pieces to the puzzle. I mean, the cut and dry version is they resurrected Coulson using, you know, technology and magical serum. But,
yeah, and you know, Shepherd
you
Book.
Really, yeah, right? Shepherd yeah. Book. But when you look into what it really was, I mean, there's some alien DNA stuff going on. There's kind of forbidden Hydra technology going on. There's the fact that Coulson had to have his memory reconstructed because otherwise it drives you kind of insane. So there's a lot to the Tahiti project. And on top of that, Coulson was the one who was actually in charge of Tahiti. And I didn't really get it. Did he actually resign from S.H.I.E.L.D. like at the end? What was that?
No, he resigned from Tahiti.
From Tahiti. Okay.
Yeah, he basically gave his sort of his post-report wrap-up of the project by saying, I don't think anyone should ever use this ever.
Because it'll make you absolutely bonkers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, so, I mean, it's very interesting. He ends up getting resurrected by the technology he kind of said they should never, ever use.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the season wraps up with him kind of going into a trance and scribbling down some unknown hieroglyphics. So we'll kind of see what ends up happening.
We also learn that Project Tahiti was originally intended to be for an Avenger, to resurrect an Avenger should they fall
in battle. Nick Fury, you know, the awesome line of, "That's we did use it on an Avenger."
Yeah.
I know. Coulson looked like he was going to cry. So good.
Yeah, yeah.
So good.
So did you guys, I don't know, Scott, I know you don't read the comics as much. Ash, did you have any guesses on who the blue alien creature was that we saw?
You know, I really don't. I mean, I read that they don't have, Marvel Studios doesn't have access to the Kree.
Right.
Although they did say Kree on the show. They said the word Kree. So I don't know. I mean, the only blue aliens that I'm familiar with after reading Marvel comics, like literally my whole life, are the Kree.
Yeah.
So, so I mean,
and honestly, their abilities match with having a blood type that would repair your body.
Oh, do they? Okay. Yeah, I was never a big like cosmic comic guy, so my only real exposure to them is reading the New Guardian stuff. So
I believe they self heal and they're like super strong. I think are the two, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Maybe they worked out a deal. I think it's Fox or something that has them. So
yeah, and would honestly tie very well into more Avengers and Guardians material because both of those stories tie into the Kree, and it feels like they're like dancing around the Kree on S.H.I.E.L.D., which is weird, but we'll see. Were you guys frustrated at all that we didn't really get any further answers into what that was, or were you okay with the fact that they're basically teasing another season, or what are your feelings there?
I'm fine waiting. At this point, it's like, well, we know that it's, you know, it's super forbidden. We know what it does. Mm-hmm. And we know the serum is kind of no bueno. But I'm really interested to see if they are going to go. I think one of the, let me kind of rephrase this. I think one of the things that made the second half of the season so great was it was a very small, kind of intimate story. I mean, in the grand scope was larger, but it was about the characters and them all discovering things about each other and kind of being on the run. I think bringing in, like, giant aliens, like, you know, ships and crap like that would be very bad at this point.
All right.
So I think keeping it, you know, keeping it small, I think is great. And maybe like season five or something, actually have them going to space or something wild like that.
Interesting. Let me ask you guys, what are your feelings on Ward?
Okay, good. Cause that's who I wanted to leave Sky for last. So let's do it.
Okay. Let's Ward. Let's talk about Ward then.
I went for a drive with my wife, and I had a long conversation
about Ward.
We talked about S.H.I.E.L.D. for like an hour on the drive. And I was like, Ward is going to be bad. I had a feeling because Matt and I talked a long time ago and we're like, he's too sterile. He's too just like, you know, black. And he was just very normal. And I'm like, if they're going to turn anyone into a bad character in the show, it's going to have to be Ward, because he would just be, first of all, he's formidable. Like if you turned, you know, Fitz into a villain, like without an Iron Man suit, someone could just run up and punch him in the face. So that he, you know, it had to be somebody that could take care of himself. And I thought that, you know, it was an incredible twist. I didn't care for him in the beginning of the season. I just thought he was more or less gonna, you know, he's cannon fodder in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But after the twist, finding out that he's Hydra, I thought it was absolutely amazing.
I'm still not really following his backstory either, with this, like, the thing with his brother and the kid in the well and, like...
Well, so, I mean, that's the thing, is that I think that's where I feel like his secret really started to get revealed, was that who is Ward? You know, I mean, this whole time we've felt like he's the guy who follows commands, and he got to join up with S.H.I.E.L.D. because he's a badass agent, and he's just kind of a self-built man, right? And then what we learn is that he's a guy who follows commands... And that's where that ends. And he's not a self-built man at all. He's actually been manipulated and controlled pretty much his entire life.
Yeah.
Seems like there's some weird family stuff going on where his parents disowned him because it sounded like he murdered his brother. Am I correct on that?
Or maybe he tried to...
Or beat him to death or something. Yeah.
Was that was he the one that tried to burn down the house and his brother was inside?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
he's troubled. He's a troubled youth.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot more to Ward, which is definitely needed. But at the same time, there's still, at the very end, they started to go back to Ward at the very, very, very end, you know, where he's conflicted about, he's dealing with, I just forgot Bill Paxton's
Twister.
Name.
Bill Pullman?
His name is Twister.
Bill Paxton.
So he's beholden to Garrett, you know, and like it started to come back to this. Oh, he's just a dude who follows orders, and he wasn't very interesting at the very end. But yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good twist. I was still and still am sort of convinced that Simmons isn't all that we've seen yet.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not that she might go bad, but just that I think there is. She seems like the more multidimensional character than Fitz. Fitz became a multidimensional character over the course of the show.
Yeah.
Simmons, to me, always seemed like there was something in the background that just hasn't been told yet.
Yeah, we haven't really seen anything about their origins other than the fact that they went to the S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy. So I think that's going to be really interesting to see, you know, where they came from and what they're all about. Because all we know, you know, is about their relationship with each other, the fact they've known each other forever, and that, you know, he has a crazy crush on her. But beyond that, we don't know really all that much about them, which I think is kind of exciting that we get to learn more. So,
yeah. So did you guys – the funny thing about the Ward stuff that I thought was interesting was that my wife was completely unconvinced that he had gone bad.
Really?
That – oh, my God. She was like, Victoria Hand's not really dead. And I'm like, I rewatched that scene, Melissa. He shoots her in the face.
Yeah, she's pretty dead.
She's dead.
Yeah.
Like, she is not coming back, and like, he's screwed up. There's some shit there. And she's like, no, I think he's fine. Like, he's just, he's double crossing the double cross. And I'm like, no, I don't think he is. He went bad. So, she really,
what a great scene that was. What a great scene.
It's very surprising.
It was. Shoots his other two agents in the face, and then, oh man, it was just so well done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well acted too. You got to hand it to him, because he pulled off that kind of, you know, that very Norman Bates, just like,
oh God, yeah,
totally, you know, psychopathic, is really kind of scary.
the scenes between him and Patton Oswalt were amazing.
I agree. Yeah. And I'm glad he's back, by the way.
Oh, well, let's move on to our next topic then, which is cameos and special appearances, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
So let's talk about Patton Oswalt. So is there some kind of precedent for this about what he actually is? Like, is he a clone? Is he a robot? Is he have like multiple twin brothers? Like what is going on?
Yes. Any one of those three could be true in the Marvel Universe pretty easily.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know what he is on the show, but as far as I know in the comic, I mean, he was a character that existed and was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. I don't think he was a life model decoy or anything weird like that, but...
They've in an article said that we purposely are not telling you, and he's going to be back for season two, and there's more to his story.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's exciting.
Back for sure. He's going to be part of the team, sort of.
When he first showed up, I was completely on board with that. And then when Ward killed him, I was like, oh, that would have been such a great idea. Why did they just throw that away? Like, the guy at the base who's just, like, kind of the goofy, like, bureaucrat, by the books, kind of, like, running the base kind of guy. Like, that's kind of cool, you know? It's a good character for him. And now he's back.
He was a great hero on Jarvis.
Well written and well acted, yeah.
He's become a really good actor. It's kind of crazy. He's become a really solid actor. I love him in everything I see him in. So, yeah, what other cameos did you guys like this season? Because there were a bunch. I like Jamie Alexander.
Is Deathlok considered a cameo or no? Is he just part of the show?
I think he's just part of the show at this point. He was in like five or six episodes, right?
Yeah, okay. He's definitely part of the show now.
So yeah. You guys may continue with your cameos then.
I like the Lady Sif, Jamie Alexander. That was a great episode. That was like right around the time the show started turning around. So it was I think the right when things started getting good is the episode on the train tracks, that episode.
Yes. Oh yeah, there's your nod to Firefly is the train episode.
Yeah, there's a train episode, right. Yeah. And that episode was funny and well acted and just really well paced. And I think from there on out, all the episodes were solid, and then two episodes after that was the Lady Sif episode with Jamie Alexander, and I love that. I thought it was good that they were able to bring in fantasy elements and not make it seem really, really weird.
There's a little time manipulation in that train episode as well, which I thought was really clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a little time jumps, and that's, I think, the first time we get to really see May be like a big badass. It's like that's the first time I believed it. I was like, okay, I'm drinking the juice now, because the scene where she was hanging there from the chain and like pulls the knife out, and you're just like, oh, okay, you are kind of a badass.
I have to go with Samuel L. Jackson every time he shows up. I mean, especially at the end, like his whole sequence at the end was so, to me, like a Nick Fury pitch perfect moment, because he's not really Nick, even in the Avengers, he's not really Nick Fury in the movies. He kind of just shows up and says some words and then leaves. like not much happens with him in the movies, and that moment in the show I thought was so perfect, like showing up at the right moment with the right weapon, as hokey as it might have been, showing up at the right moment with the right weapon, having all like the quips to kind of throw out, and then just generally looking completely not fazed by the fact of what's going on around him, and just like killing people and being totally fine with it. You know what I mean? Like,
I totally yelled at the television when he showed up in the helicopter. Like,
it was amazing.
To rescue, that was so, I don't know why, but I was surprised by that.
I mean, that sequence was like, so what we're talking, if you haven't, you've seen it, or if you're for some reason are just listening to us and getting spoiled on the whole season, when Fitzsimmons gets sunk in the cargo pod from the plane. And they figure out a way to come up, but if they come up, Fitz is going to get hurt, and Simmons is going to be the only one who's able to breathe. And you're like, oh my God, they're going to die in the ocean. Because I kept saying, there's no way they're going to kill them. There's no way they're going to kill them.
Yeah, yeah.
But in my back of my brain, I was like, I have no idea how they're going to get them out of this.
I'm just going to float in the water for 5 days. Yeah.
And then when Nick Fury just shows up in a helicopter and pulls Simmons out of the water, I was like, holy fuck. Like, that moment was a fantastic. That whole sequence between the two of them and then when Nick Fury shows up is so well acted and so well done. I mean, it's two people in a tiny room, and they get so much emotion and character out of that. It was amazing. I thought that was one of the highlights of the whole season.
I totally agree. Like, the scene between Fitz and Simmons, I my eyes were welling up, and I looked over at Christina, and Christina was like totally crying, and I was just
Melissa was bawling
because when he kind of professes his love for her, you're just like, oh man, this is not gonna end yeah. well. Like, oh man. But it was really wonderfully done. And that, like you guys said, when Nick Fury shows up in the helicopter, you're like, fuck yeah, this show. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Hell yeah.
Colby Smulders was great in her episode.
Yeah.
I actually think her appearance was better than just the episode with her, but like her first, just like, you know, hey, I'm here, and you're like, oh shit, yeah, you have nothing to do right now. And she's such a badass. Like, they make her such a badass in the movies, and they played it well in the show, where she just, you know, like takes down three dudes with like no notice whatsoever, and I love it. So those have been great cameos. Were there more?
Maybe not a character cameo, but how about Amy Acker's appearance on the show?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
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 I still don't think that she's what we think she is. I don't think she's just the...
Do you think we've not seen the last of her?
I don't think we've seen the last of her, and I don't think she's just like a musician. I think there's more there.
Yeah.
Like, why so would Coulson be interested in her?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, something is going to happen with her character too, because she never got to reunite with Coulson, so they're obviously going to bring her back for that great moment.
You don't think she could just be... like the reason why Agent J stares at the stars every night, like just one of those kind of like characters you can never be with, but you have to watch from afar, that kind of thing.
I don't know. I'm an idiot. I think she's going to be like Lady Hydra or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't trust anyone in this show.
I also liked that episode because it was one of the few episodes where there was a seriously powerful monster of the week that they had to go against. Blackout, which is a real character from the comic books.
Oh, okay.
Is a badass and was awesome on the show. Like, when it was so X-Files-y when he started like fucking just killing people, and like stealing a like kill a dude to take his truck. And I was like, holy shit, like this is the first time they're just dealing with like a ruthless dude, you know?
So he was represented accurately as a character from the Marvel universe?
You know, I mean, I think he wears a costume in the comics.
Yeah,
but beyond
sure.
That,
he wears like a little more spandex, but
yeah,
beyond that, it was
definitely dead
on. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I love that they're doing these cameos and they're kind of weaving the universe in. I'm keeping my fingers crossed because they have said that the new Daredevil show and the Power Man and Iron Fist show are all going to be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, God, it would be so good to see the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. go to the Hell's Kitchen and like fucking deal with Matt Murdock or something. I would shit my pants, but. You know, we'll see.
Actually really, really love where they took Deathlok. They made him Deathlok at the end of the show, like literally, like when they basically get him out of the situation where his son's gonna die. That kind of like, what do they call it? The incentive program.
Yeah.
And when they get him out of that, and he just becomes, he blows up Garrett essentially, right? And becomes Deathlok. I was like, oh, awesome. They really made, like, I didn't know how they were going to pull off doing a Deathlok character on the show. And it, at the very end, I was like, okay, cool. And now he seems like he's definitely going to just be part of the show. Like,
yeah, well, like, what is supposed to happen to this character now? Doesn't he just kind of, like, wander off into the sunset? So, like, what?
Yeah, he's kind of like a Ronin type character. Like, he, you know, is like a bit of a vigilante hero.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And he says at the end that he's out to make amends. That
That's
kind of
like what his character
Milton.
Started like, you know, like on the first episode when he was just a dude.
Yep.
Mike Peterson. Let's move on to our next topic, which is tie-ins with the movies. And I think we had, what, like two, maybe three tie-ins this season with movies?
Two tie-ins.
The first
two
one was
tie-ins.
Pretty chill, and it came after Thor: The Dark World.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman vehicle that everyone saw.
I feel like that Lady Sif episode should have been the Thor tie-in. I don't know why they didn't do that, because the one they gave us was honestly just, I think they like reused one of the sets from Thor. Yeah, they were going there to clean up.
Wait, was that the episode with the staff? Like where they had like the staff that made everybody crazy, that thing?
Yeah.
So, I mean, was that in the movie, or was that just like, hey, we found this or something, you know?
I think that was just, hey, we found this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was just some like Asgardian relic or something. I mean, I guess the good thing about the Thor tie-in, the first tie-in, was the fact that, again, they wanted to show you that it is part of this bigger universe, and that there is magic involved, and there is all these different dimensions, and the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents are just tiny little like kind of specks on the radar.
And they're just people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It kind of...
But Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, just like seeing this tie-in for the first time, like made me think of what, you know, people said about the Transformers, where it's like, we use the TV show to sell the toys. And it's like, now it's like what happened with Winter Soldier. It's like, I'm watching this show and now I can't watch any more of the show because I need to go see the movie, which I don't go to the movies like that often. But right. I went to go see this movie because I wanted to watch more S.H.I.E.L.D. It's ridiculous.
But to be fair, the movie was at least good.
No, the movie was great. Yeah, I have no... It's not that the movies are bad. You know, we talked about it elsewhere. I don't like going to the theater, but I went for Winter Soldier.
Well, let's talk about that, Matt, and how amazing it was that they actually were able to link these two things up and have it all work and actually ends up driving the second half of the season, which is fucking crazy.
In the best way. I actually think it is a testament to Marvel for them to literally blow up a property in order to tell better stories, which is what they did. They basically said, yeah, we're going to reach an end here where we're not going to have anything to do with S.H.I.E.L.D. We're not really sure how to stretch to the next set of movies because there's a bit of a gap before Guardians. Like, what should we do? And they literally just took a nuclear bomb to S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, they blew it up from the inside out, and it was awesome. And I think their willingness to do it when they have multiple movie properties tied around S.H.I.E.L.D., they have a TV show tied around S.H.I.E.L.D. that honestly had been dipping at the time as far as ratings goes. I think they did a brilliant job at mixing these two stories together and taking a multi-million dollar movie, which earned a ridiculous amount of money in the theater, and turned into an awesome platform for a TV show to finish the season.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it was really well executed, and if they can keep that up and actually, you know, have basically, you know, the cinematic universe all tie together and have the movies all influence the shows and vice versa, how ridiculous would that be? Like, I can't even, like, I'm such, like, I can't believe it's actually happening. I know I goof around all the time, but I'm like, the little kid in me is just so in awe that all this is actually occurring,
it's,
you know,
like, and it's working well good, too, you know?
Yeah. It's so cool.
And it's just like, imagine now you watch a TV show and then a movie comes out. So then you go to the movies and then there's like maybe another TV show, or maybe they release some other form of media. Like maybe someone actually makes a great movie tie-in video game or something. And that has some kind of tidbit of information that ties into something else. You know, like the possibilities for where you could go with the cinematic universe are sort of endless. And I think by getting through this first season of S.H.I.E.L.D. with the movies that came out around the same time, kind of now shows, it proves that this is a viable model and it's one that you can expand upon going forward. And that's kind of exciting.
It's definitely
so exciting. So there's one more secret though that we skipped over, but it's the last character who has a background on the show, which is Sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've learned that Sky is a orphan, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We learned that she was raised by not her real parents. We've learned, or through orphanages, right?
Mm-hmm.
She blames S.H.I.E.L.D. because she heard that S.H.I.E.L.D. took her parents. And then it turns out her parents were S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. Then it turns out that maybe, was it her parents that wanted her dead? Did I hear that right in the show?
I think her parents weren't actually the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, right? Weren't they trying to retrieve
S.H.I.E.L.D.
her?
S.H.I.E.L.D. agents were the ones that rescued her.
Yeah. Rescued her. And then her real parents were trying to kill her.
Yeah, and her real parents were not humans from what we saw in the season finale. They're like...
As far as we can tell.
Yeah, they look like bubbly skin weirdos. I have no idea. It looked like somebody with leprosy or something. Like, I'm really confused. But yeah, so Sky's an alien, or at least half alien. And
or something, and she's got the darkness in her or something like that?
Yes. I think this could go anywhere. At this point, it's so hard to speculate what they're going to do with her character. Mm. Obviously, she's going to be important. She's going to be, you know, obviously a key figure in season two is going to be finding out, you know, who or what Sky really is. But it's oh man, breaking me with show notes. But yeah, I mean, I found her character to be interesting. I loved the relationship between Coulson and Sky was one of my favorite things. They had definitely like a father daughter thing going on, and they had this mutual respect. And he always, from the very beginning, believed in her, which I thought was really kind of cool when no one else really did or was, you know, playing her like Ward was. Coulson was always kind of looking out for Sky and trying to make sure that, you know, she was okay.
I'll tell you what, I know that I said earlier that I'm like, I don't really care for Skye. I think that the things that really turn the corner for me with her, like the times that I find her most interesting, is when she's using her like street smarts to do thing, you know, to help the team, right? So
there was
episode where she went undercover, like to go into the mansion. There was
where,
like,
I mean, her whole story kind of unravels, right?
Yeah. Yep. And then the episode where, you know, she finds out that Ward is Hydra. And so she like uses her wit to sort of, you know, negotiate her way through that situation.
That episode was honestly my turning point on her, was when she jammed the screwdriver in the picture and then wrote Ward is Hydra or whatever the note was on the board. That was when I was like, oh, cool. She's not just like a useless. She was kind of a useless character to me. She was like that prototypical hacker character that annoys me in every show and movie that I've
seen.
There are a lot of just like just tappity tapping on a keyboard and then like, I fixed everything in 30 seconds.
Uh-huh. And the part that they really missed out on with her was the part where she was an orphan and kind of had to live on her own for most of her life.
Yeah.
So if you're like that, you probably have some kind of street smarts. You know how to like get things that you need and you know how to manipulate people. And so she kind of has those skills. And when you finally get to see them, you're like, oh, that's why you're valuable on this team, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I agree. And like I said, I think it is going to be interesting to see where they take her. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see her too far removed from her roots. Cause sometimes they'll change characters up a lot between seasons. They're like, oh, now she's like, you know, now she knows Kung Fu and she has like an alien laser beam that shoots out of her fingertip. And you're like, what the fuck?
Well, I mean, now that we're moving sort of towards the end of this season and we're going to start talking about next season.
Yeah.
Like what of the romance between the two of them? Cause I felt like while it makes sense, it seems a little convenient, I suppose, to do that.
It felt a little forced to me.
Yeah.
I mean, but they kind of explain that away with Ward saying that he was playing her on purpose, right?
Sure.
Even though now they're at the end, they keep hinting that he wasn't and that he really does have feelings for her. They also play like, oh, well, I knew this was how she would react. I knew this is how to manipulate her.
Because that's Ward's weakness, is that he cares for people too much.
Did anybody else get like really annoyed with Paxton by the end of the I couldn't like when he blew him up, I was like, great.
Yeah.
Works for me. I'm so tired of this.
Brilliant. That scene was brilliant. Where Garrett gets blown up, I was just like, what the fuck is he gonna do now? And that look on his face
like on
of
TV.
Just like pure evil, you know, that grin he had, I was like, fucking A, like, wow, what is gonna happen? And then how nonchalant Coulson was about basically turning him to goo. You're just like, oh, I love fucking Coulson.
I loved that scene because like my only problem with Garrett and with it's Paxton, right? I'm not getting the bill wrong. Is that it's that annoying thing to me with we talked about this with the ending scene in Thor with Benicio del Toro as the collector or whatever. I hate it when actors that I feel like don't have any ties to comics in any way play a comic character as a comic book character. Do you know what I mean? Like way over the top. Mm-hmm. And like, cause Paxton before was just kind of the cocky agent. And I was like, oh, cool. That's all fine. It was working. And then when he became the villain, he literally changed personalities into this like cackling, like over
like
the top
super villain.
Yeah, it was like ridiculous. And I'm like, I hate this guy. Please kill him.
It's like they
so when that
the
scene
script
happened,
with,
like, I was
in
like
panel
so
format.
Happy. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
With like speech bubbles and everything. And he's like, ah, I know how to read this.
I was bummed. I was bummed when he was revealed as the clairvoyant because I really liked him on the show. I was like, oh, he's great. He's really cool. He has a great rapport with Coulson. They have this great dynamic. And I mean, I'm glad he got turned to goo, but
the girl in the flower dress was also disappointed.
Yes.
I think she is one of the best actors and characters in the show.
No, I like her a lot. I'm interested to see, again, there's so much to look forward to in the next season because I don't know what her motivation is. She thinks she's going to become something else.
Yeah.
Are they allowed to say the word mutant in the Marvel shows? I don't think they own the word mutant. Yeah,
I don't think
it's a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, but I definitely like her now that she's like, I'm not really in this for Hydra. I'm kind of in this for discovery, you know, knowledge, power, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just like her. I think she plays it very well. Like, it's not, It's not very like stereotypical in any way of what kind of character she's playing, and it's she does walk the gray area really well. Like she did it when they took Coulson in and they were scanning his brain, mm-hmm. and you could see her kind of like, even when she wasn't saying things, just the way she was acting around Coulson, you could see her bouncing back and forth on whether they should be doing what they were doing. And really, it seemed like her resolve towards like clairvoyant was the whole reason that she just kept going. And then when she found out that clairvoyant wasn't real, you could see that she was kind of crushed. And I thought she was great throughout the entire show. And I'm really happy to see that it seems like she's going to be a pretty big part of the next season as well. So
I agree. So let's jump to our season two predictions, because I know we're supposed to keep these breakup episodes short.
Yeah, sure.
So well, what do you guys think is going
to
happen?
The question that I've been holding on to this whole time is, from a comic book standpoint, what's going to happen to Fitz, and is there a comic book character that Fitz could become in his current condition?
I don't know. I would assume yes, that there probably is, but I don't know. Ash has a better encyclopedic knowledge of comic book characters than I do.
It's weird that we did not even see him for the last two acts of the show, right?
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, he's not doing well. So it's like, now you start to wonder, like, is the actor even going to come back next season? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Well, I think he'll definitely be back. I think they're probably going to keep him in like, you know, like a Luke Skywalker cryo back to tank type thing for like an episode or two, mm-hmm. and make his waking up be a big deal. Because I think from a story writing perspective, that would be really awesome to see.
Are they going to use like Tahiti juice on him? Like, what's going to happen, right? Like,
I don't think they'll do that. I think he'll come back, and my just guesstimate is he'll come back and be very, very frustrated because he's either like lost part of his memories, or like he's, you know, his limited movement, or I think they're going to kind of make him, you know, his is going to be like trying to match what he used to be able to do in season one. You know, I think it's going to be like a road to recovery type of situation for him. That's just my guess. So.
I have one prediction for Fitz, mm-hmm. and that's that he is going to shoot Ward.
Ooh.
I don't know if he's going to kill him, but he's going to shoot him.
At some point?
Yeah, at some point he's going to have a gun. He's going to get angry. He's going to be like, I thought we were mates. Why did you betray me? And he's going to shoot him.
I think that's a pretty good assumption.
Cool.
What other predictions? I think what I would love to see, if I could just kind of wish something into reality, I would like to see Kobe Smothers come be a full-time cast member. I think that'd be fucking great.
Could be. She's got some free time.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, hopefully it comes to be. They give her enough money. But, I mean, it would be awesome to see her, you know, as a regular helping to rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D.
What about the... sort of the Ward replacement on the team. I can't remember his name. He was the grandson of the...
Oh, of the... what's his name? Triplet.
Triplet, yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's to become of him? Does he stick around? Because now there's, like... Basically, he takes Ward's place. So if Ward joins the team again, they can't have two of those, like, soldier guys, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think... I kind of think that the season, if I were to guess, is going to be about... you know, Coulson rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D. So I think there's going to be more people on the show. I think he's going to kind of be recruiting, and they're going to use that new base with the new Patton Oswalt character as kind of like their base of operations. Mm-hmm. They're going to go on away missions and go after Hydra. And I think they're going to kind of be building up a roster. And I honestly think if they do bring Ward back into the fold, I think it's going to take like all season. It's going to all be about his path to redemption, and he's going to have to like save everyone's life like 10 times over before they'll even consider having him back.
Absolutely.
So I think Triplet will be there for a while, and I like him.
I really like him. I think he's great.
Yeah. I love the shit with the suitcase and all the gadgets, and I really ended up liking him by the end. So
what I like about him is because of his heritage, I feel like he, like the way Coulson was in the Avengers, are both like sort of like, oh, we're genuine like fans of superheroes, you know? And so they share that common interest where it's like they both like look up to these characters and they kind of like aspire to be something greater than themselves. And I think the two of them together are really great. I guess everybody with Coulson becomes really great by proxy.
That's kind of true, right?
Yeah.
He kind of does that to characters.
Yeah.
So I only have one real, it's not even a prediction. It's just something to give everyone to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Feasibly the biggest movie since Avengers, which will be Avengers Age of Ultron, comes out at when the season 2 of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be ending.
Oh, man. That's ridiculous.
So as far as tie-ins go, which we know it worked very well with Captain, I would assume they're going to have a huge tie-in with Avengers Age of Ultron. And Age of Ultron comes out on May 1st of 2015.
I wonder, what are there any other movies that are on the schedule for in the middle of the season?
No, Guardians and then Ultron, Avengers. That's it.
Oh, really? So we've already gone through all of the Avenger character, like individual character movies before.
There's no Iron Man movie this time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's already been three of those, right? So.
Yeah, but I'm just saying there's no. We already did our Cap. We already did our Thor. So the next one up is Avengers.
Okay, let me ask you guys a question then. Aside from Sam Jackson, who do we have the best chance of seeing from the films in the TV show?
Ooh, Hawkeye.
I would say Hawkeye.
You think so?
I mean, Jeremy Renner's he's not cheap, but Samuel Jackson isn't cheap either. So I'm trying to think from a budgetary standpoint who would
I've also heard that these guys signed some pretty ridiculous contracts to do these movies too. So I'm willing to bet that they've got some TV time written into it.
I would love to see Hawkeye,
like, if you just had to make an outlandish guess as to who has TV time written into their contract to make an appearance on this show, like, just throw a name out there. I mean, so we have Hawkeye. Like, is there who else? Like, if we were to shoot, like, aim maybe higher.
I mean, the next step up would be ScarJo, but I really doubt she'll end up on the show.
I would absolutely love to see she and May, like, on a mission together.
I have a hard time seeing them get her on the show. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah,
they talk about her all the time.
They do. They mention her constantly.
Like, she's like a mythical character, like a unicorn or something, you know?
I know, right?
Oh, that's not what Romanoff would do. Don't let her find out you said that, like, everything.
That's very true. Honestly, I'd be elated to see any of them on there. The best would be just because Stark doesn't know that Coulson's alive. There was that whole bit about Coulson actually said to Kobe Smothers, don't tell him. So I would love to see that scene. And maybe that's something we'll see in either the Avengers or in S.H.I.E.L.D., an exchange between Tony Stark and Coulson.
Oh, is Coulson going to be in Age of Ultron?
Maybe.
I'm asking you guys.
He's gotta be. I mean, we don't know, but he's gotta be.
It'd be great.
Yeah, so let's ask the question in the reverse. Who from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is gonna show up in the Avengers movie?
Only Coulson, yeah.
Only Coulson? You don't even think the rest of the team could just fly by in the bus?
I think they already have so many damn characters in that movie. I think they wouldn't want to be like, oh, look, there's the TV crew. Like, I think it'd be a little bit much. So if anyone, it's going to be Coulson. Maybe they'll be like standing in the background, like loading weapons or something. I don't know. But I think
that's pretty unique, right? To have a movie and then have like Sam Jackson then show up on the TV show, which is related to the movie. Like, doesn't happen very often. So. I mean, I don't know that it's ever happened in the reverse or if there's an opportunity to do something crazy like that, but it seems like they are willing and interested in pushing the envelope in those ways.
Yeah. Well, all I know is that if they do have Coulson in Avengers, he'll be revealed in a very comical way because it's Joss Whedon writing it, and his resurrection will be basically told in one sentence. He'll be like, yeah, this happens all the time, in comic books or something to that effect, and that'll be that. But
Yeah. And then how about Sky? What's going to happen to Sky? Because that's kind of like, that's the big thing, I think, is like the story that like they're kind of selling to everyone, even though like we personally, that's not like our main thing. But I feel like a lot of people will be curious about what's going to happen with her next season.
I'm dead honest. I think they need to get it out of the way immediately in season 2. I think they need to say what is going on with her and then have that be the story from then on out.
Right.
And not keep if they tease this fucking story all the way through a second season, I swear to God, I'm going to lose it. I don't care.
I think it interferes.
I don't care anymore.
Yeah, it would interfere too much with whatever is going on with now Coulson as well.
Yeah.
No, well, at a certain point, no one talks like that, though. At a certain point, no one goes, well, did she know the thing? Did she hear the thing with the guy? Do you know that thing that she did with the guy?
Like,
we can't use anything other than vague pronouns, because if we say a word that's a name or an actual thing, then you'll know what we're talking about. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it has to come out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what she is. I think it's going to kind of, when we do find out, you know, what exactly she is, I think the Marvel Cinematic Universe will kind of, you know, have new mythology. There'll be new alien races and all sorts of fun stuff to think about that might tie in with Guardians of the Galaxy. Who knows? So, cool stuff. I mean, it's all super exciting. And that, like I said, I think my big prediction for season two is Ward's long path to redemption, you know?
Yeah.
And because they're keeping him on the show. It's just going to all be about, like, what is he going to do to fix everything that he did and all those people that he murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big
deal. Quite a bit of them.
I'm cool. Like I said, I'm more concerned about Fitz at this point. I don't know why.
I think they'll do something cool with Fitz. I think he'll be back. But yeah, I could see him as like an Oracle character, which is a DC character. But
what if he becomes MODOK?
Dude, for real though.
What?
I was reading some article and they were shocked that MODOK never showed up in the first season.
Oh my god.
Or even a hint of MODOK. MODOK's gonna show up.
Is he an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.? What is he?
No, he's the guy that I had the shirt of. That
yeah,
was
I know.
Like
I remember the shirt, but like in relation to this S.H.I.E.L.D. universe, like
what would he be?
He's part of AIM, which is AIM should already be a part of the show. I have no idea why it's not, but maybe it is. Maybe Cybertech is secretly Cybertech? Yeah, Cybertech, right?
Yeah. Well, they've mentioned AIM a few times. They've said the name AIM, but we haven't seen any AIM guys or anything. So
they've mentioned
it on the show. But Cybertech is essentially AIM, right? I mean, at the end of the day.
I mean, I think they're at least very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can you have AIM and Hydra both exist as sort of like enemies?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Hydra was always like the Nazis' name were like the evil super scientists, you know, that were just kind of hell-bent on building evil technology.
Hydra kind of seems like, you know, born out of like the Cold War era, you know, like spies and like all this kind of sort of clandestine behavior, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was literally born out of World War II and then became this like unending enemy for Captain America, essentially. Mm. But AIM exists alongside of Hydra the whole time. They're cool. their own thing. But awesome. Yeah, awesome.
Well, I think we should wrap things up because we've gone quite long talking about S.H.I.E.L.D. But thanks guys for showing up to Rated NA. We need to talk.
Yeah,
and, we need to talk. And we'll be doing more of these in the future whenever we find topics that we just really need to talk about.
Yeah.
So again, we are the Rated NA podcast, and we will see you guys soon.
See ya.
Yeah. See you later.
We should just
cuss it up.
We should cuss it up and fucking talk about scat and stuff.
Just for a whole episode. Like that.
Please, can we please do that?